Thank you for joining us for our broadcast today. My name is Ben Bailey.
Is there any word from the Lord? Jeremiah chapter 37, verse 17. As we think about the great subject today of going back to the Bible, one of the areas that we need to go back to Scripture for is the church that you read about in the New Testament. We live in a world that is littered with a large amount of denominations and various religious groups, all started by different men. Is that the Lord's church? How do we know what the church of the Lord is? And did Jesus build all these various religious groups? When you look to the Scripture, one can clearly see that Jesus just built one church. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 18, Jesus said unto Peter, I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. The rock was the great statement that Peter had made. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and upon that fact, Jesus said, I'll build my church. Now notice a few things about that statement. The church belongs to Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't say, I'll build somebody else's church, or I'll build all these religious leaders' churches. Jesus said, I will build my church. Jesus is the owner and the founder of the church. And not only that, but notice Jesus also said, I will build my church. Singular in its purpose, singular in its unique nature, and singular in origin. Jesus only built one church. As you think about the church that you read about in the New Testament, one easily realizes that Jesus is the one who founded it. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11, the Bible says, no other foundation can any man lay except that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's the owner, he's the founder, and the church must give him the glory and the honor in everything that it does. Well, when was the church of Jesus Christ founded? When was the Lord's church founded? You open your Bible to Acts chapter 2, and after years of prophecy have been made about Christ and his kingdom, all of that now comes to fulfillment after those who obeyed the gospel, Acts 2 verse 38, repented and were baptized. The Bible says in Acts 2:47, and the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. Well, what church did he add them to? The same church Jesus promised to build. The same church that came into existence, not just as a promise, but in reality on the day of Pentecost. Now, here's the practical lesson from that. Any religious group that was founded in any other time period other than on the day of Pentecost in the first century by the preaching of the gospel by Peter is not the church you read about in the New Testament. So we know Jesus originated the church. He founded it. It was started in Pentecost in the first century. And concerning the church, we can also know what its purpose is. You know, so many religious groups today are more about entertainment, more about fun, more about what's popular in culture. They want to take a poll of society and then fit their standards to that. That's not the purpose of the Lord's church. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, we have that grand purpose of taking the gospel to princes and principalities and all those who are in high places. The purpose of the church is to reach out to the world with the gospel for the saving of men and women's souls. As you think about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we also need to realize that it has only one headquarters. Our headquarters is not in Nashville, it's not in Rome, it's not in Springfield, Missouri. The headquarters of the Lord's church is in heaven itself, where the King resides. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. All matters have already been decided. Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4, Revelation chapter 19, verse 16, and we must recognize that heaven has spoken, heaven has declared, and if we're going to be the church that you read about in the Bible, we must let the mandates of heaven guide us in everything that we do and say. Along the lines of the headquarters, we also need to realize that the church just has one head. The Pope is not the head of the church today, for Jesus himself still is. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23, that Jesus is the head of the church, which is the body. He is the fullness of all, and himself he fills all things. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 through 18. If Jesus is the head of the church, does that leave any room for anyone else to be the governing decision maker of the church? Well, of course not. Jesus is the sole head. He has all authority. Matthew 28, verse 18. And here's a very practical lesson from that. If Jesus is the head, and if he's given us his word, and we have that, friend, we don't need to look to men today to find out what to do on salvation, what to do on worship, how to live our lives. You can look to Jesus and him alone, and you can be sure that you're right with God. Well, then, what is the church? Is the church a beautiful, ornate building with stained glass and beautiful decorative work on the inside? Is it a building, or is the church the people? You turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we learn the answer to that. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, in verses 20 through 27, that you are, to Christians, he says, you are the body of Christ and members individually one of another. What's the church? What's the body? It's the members. It's not the building. It's not the carpet. It's not the pulpit. The church is the people. It's the body of Christ today who follows his will and who does what he says. Well, what then do we know about the name of the Lord's church? If we're going to go back to the Bible, what would Christians call that body? Well, let's let the Bible answer that for us. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 18, Jesus said, I'll build my church. If Jesus called it his church, then, friends, it's the church of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ. That's exactly what the Scripture says. In Romans chapter 16, verse 16, greet one another with a holy kiss, the churches of Christ greet you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, that it is the church of God, the one that God established, the one that he is the owner of. It's the church of the firstborn, those who have been redeemed, and of Jesus Christ, the first one to overcome death. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. It's the household of God. 1 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 15, it's the general assembly and those whose names are registered in heaven. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 23 through 29. And so names are important. If God says, this is my church, this is my son's church, why in the world would anybody want to name it after some man 1,000 or 1,500 years later who didn't do anything to establish the church, who God didn't say was the owner of the church? If God's Son shed his blood for the church, he's the one who paid the ultimate price, Acts 20, verse 28, Jesus purchased the church with his own blood, if he paid the price, why would we dare be a part of a religious group that Jesus did not establish? And so when we talk about going back to the Bible, we need to go back to the Bible to learn about the church that Jesus established. But we also need to go back to the Bible for morality. We live in a world that is so far, sometimes is so far from God's standard of true morality. Think about where we are today. Homosexual marriages are becoming legalized in more states. It's becoming more popular. People see it as no longer something that is odd or strange or not the norm. It's becoming more accepted. We live in a world where shacking up is just as accepted sometimes as marriage, where euthanasia is something that people do instead of taking care of the older people in their old age, then just like a dog, put them down. Is that what God wants concerning morality? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 10, that of those who will not inherit the kingdom of God, you have homosexuals, sodomites, and the word there would represent lesbians also. Is that an alternative lifestyle? Not according to God. God very clearly says in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11, that homosexuals will not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, how clear is God on Scripture about homosexuality? You go all the way back to Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22, and God says, you shall not lie with a male as with a woman. Now, what do you mean by that, God? Leviticus 20, verse 13, if you're found lying with a male, take him out and stone him. God was serious when he spoke against homosexuality. You know, the New Testament is just as serious. Romans chapter 1, verses 26 through 29 clearly says that it is a vile, unnatural, ungodly, and sinful practice of which men shall receive the error of their way. It is something that God says is against nature, and if people practice that, they're not going to be right in the sight of God. Well, another moral issue has to do with the drinking of alcohol. Does God want his people to be involved and use alcohol? Not according to scriptures. Ephesians 5 verse 18 makes it so clear. Do not be drunk with wine, wherein is dissipation. How could you get more clear than that? Listen to the words of the wise Solomon. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1. It's clear from scripture that those things are not pleasing to God. Wine or alcohol will never make you a better Christian, never make you more sober-minded against your fight of the devil. It won't help you spiritually. And if it won't help us spiritually, then it has to hurt us. And so we need to stay away from things like that. We also need to realize God's standard of morality concerning adultery. Here's what's approved. Marriage is honorable, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. God says marriage, that's where it's holy. The union, the sexual union between man and woman, that's holy inside of marriage. But whoremongers and adulterers, God says, I'll judge you. The thing that is not right with God is adultery. We see from the scripture that such is against the will of God and that people ought not to partake in that. You ought to save yourself. You ought to wait until marriage where that kind of relationship is approved by God and where you can do that with a good conscience and above all else. Marry someone who is a Christian, who will help you get to heaven, and who will help you live a life that glorifies God in all that you say and do. Concerning morals, we also need to go back to the Bible for our speech. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 says we're to be shining lights. Part of our light is the speech that comes out of our mouth. How sad it is when you hear Christians who ought to know better speak in a way that is against the will of God. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8 and Ephesians 4 verse 29 clearly says, let no filthy or corrupt communication come out of your mouth. God doesn't approve of Christians using foul or corrupt language. God wants us to speak those things which are seasoned with grace and salt so that we may do good to the hearers. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6. And so we must go back to God's standard for morality and for the church. Oh, how we need to be, how we need to strive to be the people that God wants us to be, and how we need to rise to the challenge to live a life that goes back to the Bible to please God. Friend, has your life been lived in such a way that you're striving to go back to the Bible? Are you truly giving your best to the Lord? Are you even a Christian? Maybe in speaking about the Lord's church today, you've come to a realization that you're not a part of that church. Well, how does one get into the church that you read about in the New Testament? In the New Testament, they first heard the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. They then believed in Jesus, John chapter 8 and verse 24. Having believed in Him, they were willing to repent of their sins. Acts 3:19, Peter preached, repent and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out. Having repented of sin, they made the good confession, just like the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts chapter 8, when he said, I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, Acts 8:27-39. And then you must be baptized in water to be a Christian. Jesus made it so clear. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that does not believe shall be condemned. May God help each of us to make up our mind to go back to the Bible, and may we never stray from that.